Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
How safe is it for kids to return? Well, let's look at the coronavirus numbers. Testing for COVID-19 in the U.S. is dropping in 22 states, and cases surging in 20 states. Deaths are on the rise in 23. Only six states, plus the U.S. Virgin Islands, are reporting decreases in daily cases. I talked with CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook about what testing means for safely reopening schools and workplaces, and about his biggest concerns. Now that we're going back to school, what should we be worried about? What are you concerned about when it comes to students getting back into the school building?
There are so many things to be concerned about. And I think it's understanding that there are layers of protection and that the devil's in the details. So all the stuff we've been talking about all along. So you've got to have the hand washing the way you're supposed to, and we all heard about that. If you're coughing, you got to cough into the crook of your arms, and we have to have the physical distance, right? Now, the question is, how far are you supposed to distance yourself from somebody else? And it looks now like 6 feet indoors may not be enough, because it looks like these aerosols may travel farther than that. So that's even more reason to wear masks.
I know you've talked a lot about aerosols and whether we should worry about what's traveling through the air.
Yeah. We know now that outdoors really seems to be a lot safer than indoors because these aerosols can dilute themselves in the air. There's a lot of dilution. But indoors, where the teaching's been, well, if you're past 6 feet, you don't need to wear a mask, that needs to be rethought now because there's data now showing that not only, and this is just recently, that not only can the virus, these little aerosols float out beyond 6 feet and fill a room and stay there for a while, for hours, but they also can contain, and it's just the beginning of this research, a virus in there that seems to be infectious. There was just one very well done article recently that looked at that in a hospitalized patient. Now, the question is, in real life, when you're not in a hospital room, what's going on? And that's being looked at right now.
Right. So it might be the safest choice for children to make sure they are keeping masks on even when they are in the classroom and teachers.
I really think that. You know, one of the other things is how vulnerable are people? If there's somebody who's susceptible to, you know, because of underlying medical conditions, you have to really think about that. And when you're wanting to protect everybody, really the mask not only stops somebody who's infected from aerosolizing and it's not 100%, but protects them from infecting others, it looks now like the mask also can protect you to some extent. Then on top of that, you have to improve the ventilation in the schools, so or in any other building that you go to. So that could be something as simple as cracking a window, opening a door, or it could be improving the air exchange from the inside to the outside. It could be more sophisticated stuff like putting a UV filter in the ducts or even putting specialized air filters in the room to try to clean out the virus. All these things have to be done, and I think it's layers of protection. And I think the punchline for all of this, in terms of all of us who are trying to stay safe in the age of COVID, is there's nothing you can do that's going to be 100% protective unless you just stay home and don't see anybody at all. Everything else is layers of protection. So you want to try to put layer after layer after layer. If you do all these different things, one on top of another, they're going to all, in toto, they're going to improve your protection.
I know that another concern for school reopening is the state of testing and how testing is going for us all. We've had in some areas of the country, this has happened in our area here in New York, the tri-state area, testing results. the amount of time that it's taking for them to come back is starting to be concerning. Are you concerned about that?
I'm very concerned about that. At this stage of the game, we should be having 24-hour turnaround. I saw somebody write that if the result comes back in more than 72 hours, the lab should get paid. Because at that point, what use is it? I mean, it's a little bit of a use, but you think about the purpose of testing. Somebody has symptoms, for example, or even if they're asymptomatic, you just want to see if they're shedding without even knowing it. If it comes back positive, you want to quickly get that person isolated in quarantine, get figure out who their contacts are, contact those people quickly. If you get a result back 5 days later, that person has been out spreading the disease, the illness, for all those days. It's really almost useless right. If it comes back at 5 to 7 days in terms of trying to prevent spread.
Is that key to, you know, feeling safe to reopening schools and doing other reopenings? Is that turnaround for test results key?
I do think it is key. And, you know, you're seeing now floating the idea of having a little bit less sensitive testing. That's the antigen type test that's done rather than the PCR, which can take, you know, 4 to 6 hours or even days to come back, to have more frequent of the less sensitive testing. So I saw a college that's talking about doing that every 2 to 3 days because if you do it more frequently, even if it's only 90% sensitivity instead of much higher, still when you do the math, you're ending up picking up people and it could be more effective. So I think it's absolutely crucial to opening up schools.
So Dr. Lapook, then my last question to you would be, as a parent, if I do live in an area where the rate of transmission has gone down, where it's one of the safer areas and not one of the hotspots, and the schools are taking all of these precautions, at the end of the day, I'm still asking, can I feel safe sending my daughter to school part-time?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? You know, I always said to my two sons, you know, what's my job? To keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And that's a parent's job. And the answer is there's nothing that's going to be 100% perfectly safe, but you have to look at the risk-benefit, right? Mm-hmm. There are problems with not sending your kids to school, and people have talked about that at length, right? So we want our kids to go to school, and you want to do it in the safest possible manner. And I think if you are in an area where there are relatively few cases and where there's a good plan, you know, people are doing all the things they're supposed to do with the physical distancing and increasing the ventilation and putting the masks on, and everything that we've been talking about, and understanding who's vulnerable. And I think if you do all that, then it's a reasonable thing to send your kid back to school. But it's very important that the school has a plan that you've looked at and feel comfortable with. Parents really need to have their heads in the details. They can't just say, okay, they said it's okay. I think people need to look at whether there is a reasonable plan, and are there things like maybe alternating virtual classes with physical attendance, and are they doing all the things that we've talked about with the distancing, physical distancing, and wearing masks, and making sure kids wash their hands, and, you know, are they into the details of it? Because it's very clear that the details really matter here. At the end of the day, there's never going to be 100% assurance that it's going to be perfectly safe. But I think if you look at all the details, there can be a reasonable assurance that it's a plan that you feel comfortable enough with to send your kid back to school, given that plan, and then to make sure that you're following the progress of what's going on. And if something changes, if it looks like there's an outbreak, then you have to change course.
CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John Lapook, thank you so much for all your insight.
Take care, Linda.
We appreciate his expertise.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.